Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, hour number two underway here on the program. Still to come on the program today, we'll be joined by former Auburn head football coach Tommy Tuberville at the bottom of the hour. Talk about his campaign, where he's at right now. Here we are, just on the verge. We all get to go vote next week. So it's the moment we've all been waiting for. We'll talk to Coach Tuberville. That's at the bottom of the hour. At 11 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Alabama Today's April Marie Fogle and from over on the Eastern Shore, State Senator Chris Elliott will be with us. It's his weekly visit every Friday. We wind down the week with Senator Elliott. So please, if you can, stay tuned for that. Joining us now, always a privilege to bring this guest on, very insightful, particularly with, I think at this moment in time, we could talk about elections and we'll really want to look forward to. Congressman Mike Rogers of Alabama's 3rd Congressional District is on the line. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Hope you are, Jeff.
We're all doing well here. Thanks for making time for us. Here we are. It's October 30th. How do you feel right now about Tuesday?
I'm cautiously optimistic about the president winning.
It seems like he's got a little momentum going for him right now. I mean, maybe because the bar was set so low by the media or whatever, but looking at these polls and some of these battleground states, they look like they're tightening.
Well, they did in 2016, too.
It feels like deja vu, doesn't it?
It sure does. You can never believe the national media.
No, and they put themselves out on a limb every time, and then now here we are. It looks like it's in within reach, but more so than they had expected before. But let's talk about your body, the House of Representatives. Maybe not as glamorous as the presidential race, at least from the national standpoint, but it's still pretty important. How do you guys look getting the House back on Tuesday?
Well, our fortune is going to ride with the president. If he has a good day, we're going to get the House back. If he doesn't, we won't.
Is there any possibility where you could get the mix where the Democrats could hold on to it and the president still win? It's happened in the past. Obviously, it happened with Obama in 2012. But it seems like the two are kind of connected at the hip.
Yeah, we have to have 17 seats to take the House back. If the president has a narrow victory, we won't get the House back. If he has a big victory, we will. Our fate is in 31 suburban districts around the country. They're all around big cities. We lost them in the 2018 election because Trump wasn't on the ballot. If he has a big victory, we will get more than 17 seats. We'll be in the majority, and we'll send Nancy Pelosi packing. But it's all tied to him.
Do you worry about this, though? It's not necessarily these blue states and their mail-in balloting and mail-in voting and all those schemes where you do have Republican districts. Like, let's say California, where there are, a handful of Republican districts there. But now that you're doing this mail-in voting, that they will... these blue states will use this opportunity to try to steal some more seats away from you guys or hurt your chances of getting the House back.
Yeah, I mean, California is a perfect example. I mean, they're fraudulent out there. But the fact is, they do ballot harvesting in California, and we decided we're going to do it this time, so we're going to play by the same rules they have. Hopefully this year we're going to pick up at least three of our former California seats back.
Yeah, because there was that special election earlier this year. Not a lot of people expected Republicans to win that seat back. It's like suburb of L.A. out there in California that no one expected that, actually. And do you think there's some of that in store for us?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Mike Garcia seat. We're going to keep that seat. We never should have lost it to begin with. But there's some others. And again, it's the rules they set. They're going to do ballot harvesting. We're going to do it too. And I do believe that we're going to pick up at least three of our former seats back in this election in California, just because we're going to play by their rules. I'm more worried about North Carolina, and the rules that they've changed out there and the redistricting that's taking place. It's just it's a real weird state.
Is there a possibility, I mean, a lot of these, not just the presidential election, but a lot of these elections can be tied up with legal challenges for you know, if not weeks, maybe even months?
Absolutely. And I'm expecting that. I don't think we're going to know who won the presidential election for at least a week. And there could be some really nasty legal challenges, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll make the best of it.
But you got to feel good. I mean, I wouldn't say good about it. Obviously, it's a little disappointing that it would come to that. But given the composition of the Supreme Court now, Barrett's confirmation coming earlier this week, you feel a little bit better about where those legal challenges might go?
Yeah, but it's still nasty. I mean, I hate that our country's in this position that we're so divided. But we have been since the year 2000. The Obama years made it worse than I expected it would, and I don't know where we're going in the future. I just hate that we're such a divided country.
Do you see it improving, or do you think we're just, no matter who wins, Biden or Trump on November 3rd, that that it's just going to be kind of more of the same?
More of the same. I think we're going down a path that's it's not a good path. I don't see it getting better. I don't care who wins the election. Oh, I care, but I don't think it's going to change the divisions that we have in this country. And I don't know what the ultimate solution is going to be, but I think we're going to be viciously divided for a while.
It's just kind of this thing right now we have in our politics where each side, it is a struggle. It is a power struggle. So you pit each side against one another, but after a while, that does have kind of an impact on the public, not just the electorate.
Yep. It's disappointing, but it is what it is. You know, but the way I look at it, you know, we survived Jimmy Carter. We're going to survive whoever wins this election.
Well, and a lot of other presidents in between, we survived as well. Tell me this, you keep it up with this Hunter Biden laptop saga. It seems to have be playing a role right now in our presidential politics, but I you got to wonder if later on down the road, should Biden be elected, this story is not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, I hadn't been paying that much attention to it. If Biden wins and they have control of the House and Senate, this story's going nowhere. If we keep the Senate, it could actually turn into an investigation that proves to be problematic for the new president, but that's kind of an outside chance.
Listening to Leader McCarthy in an interview, he says that, you know, it's a real possibility that if Biden does win, he could see a scenario where, you know, you're looking on down the road at a House investigation and maybe even potential that, you know, Kamala Harris would be president of the United States because of what might be found.
Hey, listen, I have never thought for a second that Joe Biden would finish a term. If he's elected, he will not finish one term. Either he will pass away or he will have to leave because of incapacity. You can look in his eyes and see his age is catching up on him. He will not be able to finish the term. So Kamala Harris will be the president if Joe Biden wins.
Just out of health, it's just he's not the same Joe Biden, I guess, that we knew from, he was so outspoken during Clarence Thomas. He was outspoken during the Iraq War stuff and George W. Bush. This is kind of a Joe Biden light, if you will.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm looking at it more like just we've all seen our grandparents and our parents get old and pass away, and you can see in their eyes when death is approaching, and you can see it in Joe's eyes. He is not all there, and it's just age. It's going to happen to all of us one day, and it's sad, but what's scary is that Kamala Harris is going to be the president before the end of 4 years if he's elected.
Well, you're not the only one saying that out there. Let's turn back home to Alabama. I mean, you're obviously on the ballot on Tuesday. You look pretty good there, right? Nothing to worry about?
No, if I lose this election, I don't belong in Congress.
Yeah. I think the odds makers got you pretty much a lock for this one. But maybe you're doing. I guess there's still some campaign things going on. Tuberville looks like he's pretty strong in your eyes to defeat Doug Jones on Tuesday.
Absolutely, there is no way Tommy Tuberville will lose this election. Without a doubt, he's going to win by at least 12 points.
But this one, I guess more so than others in the past, a Democrat comes well-funded, a Democrat that has some name ID. This isn't typical, at least not since probably 2006, that you have a Democrat that is this well-funded, well-positioned.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, with Trump on the ballot, Trump is so strong in Alabama. We have the highest percentage of straight ticket voting in America. It wouldn't matter if we had a dead dog as our Republican nominee. He'd be the next senator.
Well, it's hard to argue with that. I guess 2017, we could just call that perhaps a fluke. But
it was December. It was a special election in December. Right. And frankly, we had the worst candidate on the planet is our nominee, and he still almost won.
Yeah, he came close. That's for certain. Tell me this: COVID-19. That's probably. Does that seem like that's going to be the big issue of the day? Even though it seems to have run its course, but that a lot of people when they go vote, it's going to be a lot. Had to do with a lot about the pandemic. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, it's in every poll across the country we've had over the last few months, that's the number one issue. But, you know, the thing that concerns me is that no matter, you know, whether you're voting for Trump or Biden, it's a global pandemic. They're not going to have a lot of effect. You have to act like you care about it, and we do care about it. But the truth is, it's a global pandemic. Until we have a vaccine and therapeutics that are FDA approved, no matter who's the president, it's going to be a problem. And so I'm bothered by the fact that it's becoming the driving issue for some voters when it shouldn't be.
And we're kind of winding up on this, looking forward beyond Tuesday, but do you anticipate any action in the lame duck session there on some kind of COVID relief? I mean, signs are pointing toward something that you just don't want to make a big splash before Election Day.
Yeah, there's going to be a package. I mean, the fact is we should have had a relief package a month ago, but Nancy Pelosi did not want the country to be in anything but distress before the election, solely because she believed the country would blame Trump for their distress. But we are not far apart on a relief package. I have no doubt that before December, we will pass a relief package that will help some small businesses and the airlines and other folks that need some help.
Is it got a big price tag, though? Are we talking trillions, or are we talking billions?
Unfortunately, we're talking trillions. I expect it to be between $1 and $2 trillion, and your listeners need to know. I mean, we are $25 trillion in debt, and whatever we pack on top is going to be a real burden for us to deal with when the interest rates start ticking back up, and our children have to deal with this. So, this is not play money; it's real.
That's true. Congressman, we'll take up any more of your time this morning, but I do appreciate you making some time for a Mobile audience here in Southwest Alabama, and your insight's always appreciated.
Happy to help. See you.
It's Congressman Mike Rogers, ladies and gentlemen, Alabama's 3rd Congressional District. Not really high up on the mental capacities of former Vice President Joe Biden, but he's not alone. Going to take a time out. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile Mile.